regal lineage through Joseph. And this is a record of Jesus' family. Everybody say family. It's a record of God keeping his covenant to Abraham and David. This genealogy is not just a bunch of names that is mentioned for no reason. These names are mentioned in this genealogy to let you know that it doesn't matter what you've done, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter where you came from, I think God will let you in the family. Shall I preach on this morning and prove whether or not God will let you in the family? He'll let you in the family because he came from sinners. He came from a lineage of sinners to save sinners, yet he was sinless. He is perfect, no sin, but yet we read in this genealogy that I don't think anybody would be proud of, but Matthew provides this genealogy to let people know, hey, it doesn't matter what sin you've committed. Listen, Jesus came from a line of sinners to save sinners. Listen, he can identify with what you're going through this morning. He can identify. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15 says that he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't care what temptation you're facing. I don't care what struggle you're going through. Jesus has already been there. Whatever you're going through, he's been there. Yet he did not sin. That's why he's the ultimate sacrifice. That's why he's Jehovah Jireh. That's why he's Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. He has been there. Drug addict, he's been there. Drunk, he's been there. He's been tempted, but he did not sin. He is the sinless one. He is the ultimate Lamb of God. Shed his blood for the sins of the whole world. And thank God we are saved. Thank God we are justified. Thank God we're on our way to heaven. Jesus has already been there. Look at your neighbor and say, he's been there. He's been there. He was tempted, but he's been there. You're going through a problem. You're going through a financial trouble. Whatever trouble it is, Jesus has already been there. And the Bible says that he sympathizes with our weaknesses. And he intercedes for us. And according to the word of God, right now he is sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, and he's making intercession for us. Jesus, listen here. Jesus not only saved you, he not only justified you, but right now he is interceding for you. He is praying for you. He means a lot to you. Why would he pray for a dirty old sinner? Why would he pray for such a dead dog as I? Because he loves me. It's not because I deserve it. It's because he loves me, and he showed me mercy, and he showed me grace. He will let me in the family. Will, hallelujah. Will, hallelujah. Will he let me in the family? I think so. From Abraham to Joseph, there's people just like you and me. They weren't perfect, but Jesus was born into a family of sinners. And isn't it interesting to note that there's four women mentioned in this genealogy? Four. And in those days, women weren't really respected. In ancient times, I'm just going to tell you the truth. Can I tell you some truth? They weren't really respected. So not only are there sinners mentioned in his genealogy, but there's women mentioned in the genealogy, which is showing people that God can use a woman just like he can use a man. Galatians chapter 3 verse 28 says this, there's neither male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus in the body of Christ. Amen, church. Well, can I get an amen? Amen. He came from sinners. Let me tell you something. Tamar, there's four women here. Tamar, she was, I'm going to blow you away here. Now, this is found in the record of Jesus, the family record of Jesus Christ. Tamar was guilty of incest, immorality, prostitution, and she was a Gentile. Rahab was a harlot, and she lied, and she was a Canaanite. Ruth was from Moab, a nation born out of incest. Am I shocking you this morning? Bathsheba was an adulterer who was David's wife. All four of them are in the line that leads to Jesus Christ. Jesus came from a dysfunctional family. He came from a line of sinners, from imperfect people. Jesus didn't really have a clean family tree. He came from a long line of sinners. And why did God include such people as this? Because he wanted to send a message to the self-righteous people, to the holier-than-thou people who are holier than that dirty old rotten sinner. Listen, I'm here to tell you, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Listen, it's not my righteousness, it's his righteousness. It's not my grace, but it's his grace. It's not my mercy, but it's his mercy. Listen, even the good things that I do, they are as filthy rags unto the Lord. I boast not in what I do, but I boast in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I boast in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen, church. It was a shock to the Pharisees and the religious leaders of that day. Ooh, there's the genealogy of Jesus, and look at what they did. They are some pretty bad people. But God in his sovereignty, everybody say sovereignty. God in his sovereignty included them in the genealogy to send a message to the Pharisee and the holier-than-thou people and the self-righteous people to let them know, hey, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter where you came from, it doesn't matter what you've done, he will let you in the family. Hallelujah. The women at the well was here a few Sundays ago. And man, you could hear their testimony of what God did for them in their life. But you take a self-righteous, vicious, rude, cruel Christian and said, I'd never do anything like that. I would never do it. Boy, you better watch out. Take heed lest you fall. You better be thankful for the grace of God. It is by the grace of God that we're in church this morning. We better be thankful. I may be tempted, but God's grace is with me. I may be tempted. Hallelujah. I shall not be moved. Though all hell assail me, I shall not be moved. I am like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, and I will bring forth fruit in due season. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. What are we ashamed of? Thank God. He will let me in the family. I'm in the family not by what I did. I'm in the family because of what Jesus did. Somebody jump up and down. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. You say, well, why you get excited? Why you get excited? Why you get excited about all this stuff? Because he saved me from me, and he saved me from my flesh, and he saved me from hell. And you can't get happy about that. There's something wrong. Praise. Somebody shout hallelujah. So why did God include such people as this in his family tree? Well, it's to send a message to the self-righteous people, but it's also so God's grace can be shown. You really can't boast in this family tree. Somebody say amen. You really can't boast in this family tree. But there's, and when people read this, they think, man, look at those sinners. Look at all those sinners in that genealogy. Look at all those sinners. Wait a minute, you're not supposed to focus on the sin or the sinner. You're supposed to focus on the hero. And there's one hero in this genealogy, and his name is Jesus, found in verse 16. So when I read this genealogy, I'm not just focusing on the sins and how bad they were. I'm focusing on the one who forgave me of all my sins. Not only so it's God's grace can be shown, but so we would focus on Jesus Christ. When some think of Jesus, they may think of some religious paraphernalia. A big cathedral, real nice carpet, and I'm not against that, by the way. A real nice wall, or a really nice building, and all this religious stuff. But when I think of Jesus, I think of friend of sinner. When I think of Jesus, I think of someone going into someone who has, right, going to someone's house that has leprosy, where nobody else will go to them, but Jesus will go to the leper, and Jesus will minister to them. When I think of Jesus, I don't think of just religious stuff. I think of someone who is willing to pierce the darkness and say, I'm going to let the light shine so that all may see the salvation of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible says in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to save sinners. Everybody say this with me. He came from sinners to save sinners. Yet he was sinless. He's our hero. He's our everything. He's my Father. Praise God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Right? When I see these sinners in this family record of Jesus, I don't see sin. I see grace. When I read about Rahab, right, I don't just see right a harlot, but I see grace. Right? When I see Tamar, I don't see immorality. I see grace. And you've got to learn how to read the Word of God through the lens of grace. Not only that, but you've got to learn how to look at people with grace. I've got lost loved ones. I got family. I got friends that don't know Jesus Christ, but I don't treat them like a sinner. I look at them through the lens of God, and I treat them like they're somebody instead of acting like I'm better than you, I'm better than you, I'm better than you, right? We're not better than them. We may be better off because we're going to heaven. Somebody shout amen. Right? But we are not better than them. We are not better than any sin. We are not better. Listen, I am one beggar telling another beggar where I found bread. Here is bread. Here is eternal life. Here is something that will sustain you and save you. Amen. He came to save sinners, right? Romans, can I read this? Can I preach a little bit more this morning? Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 19. Romans 5, 19 says this, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners." Adam's fault. "So also by one," that's a capital M, isn't it? "Also by one," Jesus, whose obedience? Jesus' obedience, "how many will be made righteous?" Many, next verse. "Moreover, the law entered where that the offense might abound." The law showed me my condition. It whipped me to Jesus. The law showed me my condition and said, look, there's grace. It can save you. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Thank God for the law, but the law didn't save me. The law just brought me to grace. The law said, you're a dirty old rotten sinner and there's no hope for you. But the law, but grace comes in and says, look at your condition. If you'll come to me, I will cleanse you. I'll let you in the family. Everybody shout grace. Everybody shout grace. The grace of God. All because of the grace of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, if you understand that you're saved by grace, you'll start acting like royalty. Y'all with me? Everybody say royalty. I may not be perfect, but I am royalty. I am in the lineage of Jesus Christ. So when I look at this lineage, when I look at this family record of Jesus, not only do I see David or Abraham, but I see myself in there. I actually see myself in the family record of Jesus. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that we are joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We are royalty, right? If I start believing I'm royalty, I'll start acting like I'm royalty. Y'all with me? When you're saved by grace and you understand you're saved by grace, you're not going to go out here and say, I can do whatever I want to do because I'm saved by grace. No, the grace that saves you is the grace that'll teach you. The grace that saves you is the grace that'll empower you. Amen. Does it mean you won't mess up? No, you're going to mess up. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to fall. You're going to fall. But the Bible says, though a righteous man falls 7 times, the Lord will pick him back up again. So the thing is, listen. When you sin, when you mess up, it doesn't mean it's over. The game's not over. There's not 1 second left in the fourth quarter. It only means that you just got to say, sorry, Lord, pick me back up, and you don't even lose your position with God. That's too good to be true. No, it's true. It's true. Everybody say it's true. It's not too good to be true. It is true. Amen. So we can be picked back up by the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, we're royalty. We're not too bad or too good to be saved. By grace, we're royalty. Everybody say this with me. He came from sinners to save who? And yet he was sinless. Hebrews 4:15. Hebrews 4:15 quoted it a while ago. The Bible says he's without sin. He is perfect. He is perfect. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. I'm just going to say it like this. He can sympathize with our weaknesses, all right? But was in all points. Everybody say all points. Tempted as we are. What else does it say? Yet without sin. 1 Peter 2:22. Everybody say, I love the word. I love the word. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2:22. Who committed no what? Sin. And there was no what? Deceit found in his mouth. So we have two scriptures here proving Jesus is perfect. 100% perfect. Perfect. All right, I got a question for y'all. Will God let 1 ounce of sin get into heaven? Of course not. He won't let 1 ounce of sin get into heaven, right? Now, if there's no sin, that means perfection, right? Are y'all still with me this morning? Then how are you going to get to heaven if you're not perfect? Can I preach this morning? I said, can I preach this morning? If he won't let 1 ounce of sin get into heaven, which means perfection, right? No sin. Then how in the world is he going to let you go? And how in the world is he going to let me go? Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. According to the word, you have to be perfect to get to heaven. You just agreed with me that there's not 1 ounce of sin that can get into heaven, right? You with me, sound man? Matthew 5:48. I'm going to show you something here this morning. Matthew 5:48. Everybody say, no sin. No sin. Not even an ounce of sin. Matthew 5:48. Actually, I'm just a couple of pages away. It says, therefore you. Now look, that's a command. Y'all agree with me? That's a command. Therefore you shall be what? Perfect. Just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Okay, Jesus, you just made it impossible for us to go to heaven. No perfection. I mean, he said, you must be perfect, right? How are we going to get to heaven? How are we going to get to heaven? You have to be perfect to get to heaven. Our hope is found in this. You ready, sound man? 1 John 4:17. 1 John 4:17. While I'm waiting. Okay. Love has been perfected. Everybody say perfected. Among us in this, that we may have what? Boldness in the day of judgment. A lot of you, you're scared to death of judgment. But in this verse, it says we can have boldness in the day of judgment. See, I can't trust in my own works. I can't trust in what I do. I have to trust in what he does. Love has been perfected among us in this. So love's been completed, perfected in me. That I may have boldness, that I don't have to be afraid. There's no fear in love. Fear has torment. Some of you are tormented because of judgment day coming. But I'm about to give you some good news. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as Jesus is, so are we in this world. This is why you're going to heaven. This is why you're saved. This is why you are justified. Welcome to the family. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That we may have boldness. I'm not afraid and I'm not tormented. I don't have to wake up every day of my life. Oh my gosh, he's going to count my sins against me. Oh my gosh, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? No, the Bible says I can be bold in the day of judgment, because as Jesus is, I've got a question for you. Is Jesus saved? Of course, he's sinless. Is Jesus healed? As he is, so are we in this world. Now, does it say so we will be in this world, or so are we? That's present, not future. I have eternal life. I'm saved. I'm healed. Everything that's in Jesus, the condition and the status that Jesus has before the Father, I have right now. So I am righteous because of who? Jesus. And because I put my faith and belief in Him. And when you understand this, you will shout the doors of the church down. You will run down the road, down the gravel highway. You'll get on Facebook and say, glory, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. I'm a new creation. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to be perfect to go to heaven. Did I not just read it? Jesus said, therefore, you shall be perfect even as your Father is perfect. But then He throws us for a loop. And then He says, because as He is, so are we in this world. I am in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, I am perfected. I am perfect in the Father's eyes. If you don't understand that truth, you ain't going to live right. If you don't understand that the Father sees you as perfect as Jesus is, you're going to have a hard time with your Christian life. Will be up, down, up, down. God don't love me, He loves me. God don't love me, He loves me. Maybe He showed grace to me today, maybe He didn't. Listen, God is a God of sufficient grace. His grace is enough. It is enough. His grace is greater than what? Sin. Didn't we just read it in Romans chapter 5? Love has been perfected among us in this. Amen? Hallelujah. That'd make you want to shout. In the Father's eyes, I want to make a bold statement this morning. Can I make a bold statement this morning? In the Father's eyes, I'm perfect. Because as Jesus is, see, the reason why I keep pointing back to the Bible verse, because I'm having a hard time. It's so good to be true. Because I'm having a hard time trying to believe it this morning. But it's true, and it's so good and so relieving that the Father sees me with the same righteousness as Jesus. Praise God. And when I stand before Him on judgment day, He's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Now, He ain't going to say that. He ain't going to say, well done, thou good and faithful evangelist, pastor. Y'all with me? He's going to say, servant. When you understand that God sees you as perfect in Jesus Christ, you'll have no problem serving. And listen, when you understand this, you won't have to go to the world for approval. And you won't have to keep praying to God trying to get His approval. Lord, I wish You'd approve of me. Lord, I wish You love. Lord, I wish. That ain't praying. You're not even praying to the Word of God. You're praying a lie. God already loves you. God already approves of you. God wants the best for you if you'll just trust in Him. Amen. Satan is the liar and the father of it. And he sits on a throne of lies. Can I get an amen? I said, can I get an amen? He is. He's a liar. He'll lie to you. Hallelujah. There's a lot of brokenness in this genealogy of Jesus. There's a lot of brokenness in these people. But that's how the light shines in. That's how the light shines through the brokenness, so broken people can be healed. And we see that Jesus came from sinners to save sinners, and yet He said, I'm sinless, who committed no sin, yet He was without sin. And then not only does He erase our sin, but He gave me His righteousness. Because as He is, so are we in this world. Hallelujah. Can I give you some more application this morning? Some of you have family members, family relatives, right? Right? I don't know. Maybe they're dysfunctional. I don't know. Right? Maybe. Right? Maybe there's some problems. And maybe this Christmas, you're like, you may be dreading to see maybe that certain family member or that certain relative. Somebody say preach this morning. I'm just going to preach real this morning. Or that friend that's coming over for Christmas dinner or when you read the genealogy of Jesus, Jesus wasn't ashamed of these people. God wasn't ashamed of mentioning these people.
And I don't care what kind of problems you got with your family, your relatives, your friends, you love them and you look at them with the eyes of God. And you treat them like they're somebody. You don't treat them based on how they treat you. You treat them based on how God has treated you. That's why some Christians are getting a bad rep today. Because they keep treating people based on what they're doing to them. But if you treat people based on what Jesus has done for you, man, you talk about a revival. You talk about a reformation going on. Because then you're living based on the Word of God, right? Home for the holidays. Home with the family members. You better start treating your family right. You better start treating your relatives right. You better start treating your spouse right. How did God treat you through the cross of Jesus? How did He treat you? He didn't have to let you in the family, but He did. Some of us got family members that get on our nerves. Y'all with me? They get on their nerves, right? But you love them. You don't cut the connection off. You love them, and you treat them like God would treat them. And you show the love of Jesus Christ. You want to see people saved? Start treating them like Jesus would. Amen, church. Hallelujah. I love the story of the prodigal son. The son's gone. His prodigal son took his father's wealth, inheritance, squandered it. Foolish, crazy. I don't know why he did it, but he did it. Goes, he's eating with pigs. And he's eating pig slop. He's sharing food with the pigs. He's just nasty, right? And then he comes back. Then he comes back home, and the father is standing on the porch looking for the prodigal son. He's just waiting on him. Now, the father wasn't doing this. The father was not on the porch going, "My son, he shouldn't even deserve to be called my son after he squandered my wealth and did this and did that and did this and did that and did this and did that." No, the father was standing on the porch looking afar off. "My son's coming home. I just know my son is coming home. He's coming home. I love my son. I love my son." And you know what? In that day, they wore robes, right? They didn't have blue jeans, but they wore robes. And the father picked up his robe. And in that culture, it was kind of not, it wasn't dignified to lift up the robe and run. But the father was not focused on dignity or what other people thought. The father picked up the robe and he ran toward the son. He says, "I don't care about my dignity. I don't care what people think about. My son has come home. My son has come home." And the father was not looking at his son through the lens of sin. He was looking at his son through the lens of love and grace. And that's what the father's doing right now. And the father is on the front porch, right? Right, he's on the front porch and he's waiting for the son to come home. Waiting for the son to come home. And he's looking for you. He's looking for you. And he's not wanting to count your sins against you. He's wanting to make you righteous. Welcome to the family. Will he let me in the family? I don't know. After what I preached this morning, I think he just let anybody in the family. Y'all with me? He just let anybody in. But there is a condition. You got to believe. You got to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to make him your Savior, and you got to make him your Lord. It doesn't matter how good you are. Your goodness doesn't let you in the family. And your badness doesn't let you in the family either. But grace and love and God the Father, based on his nature, will let you in the family. So I'm just going to tell you this morning, don't feel like you're left out, because the Father is waiting for you and he's saying, "Come home, come home, come home." The Lord, the presence of the Lord is here. Will he let you in the family? He came from sinners. He came from sinners to save sinners. Yet, he was sinless. God loves you this morning. And I'm going to say this one more time. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. The Father is waiting for you to come home. There's no to-do list. There's no prerequisites. There's no pre-requirements. The Father's saying, welcome to the family. You just have to walk in. Hallelujah. Everybody shout hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Let's stand. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, you are perfect. You are a good, good Father. And you are perfect in all of your ways. You are so holy and glorious.